Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the HTXT AfriCast. My name is Clinton. We're back this week. Joining me, Nick.
My greetings.
And Brendan.
Hello. What is that character?
My greetings.
Malfurion.
What? Is this
Hearthstone greetings?
Yeah.
My greetings.
Every week, we can't get away from it. Okay, so Nick, because you threw me for a loop there, you have to start us off this week. Tell us what you've been doing, what you're going to talk about.
Well, this last week on Saturday, I was able to play Far Cry 5.
Yes. I'm actually really excited for that. That is not a sarcastic move.
Okay, so why are you not, Clinton?
Because I played 2. And I have mixed feelings of 2, which I won't get into. But I played 3, and I love 3.
No, get into it.
I have to get to why I'm not excited for this. I played 3, and I like 3. I played Blood Dragon, and I love Blood Dragon. And then I tried all the games after that, and I found that they were just reskins. And I got quite upset, especially because at Rage 1 year, they had Far Cry 4. And I was excited to play it, and I played it. And the one guy who was doing promotions there, he's my friend, and I went to him, and I said, dude, this is the same game as 3. And then he got very angry with me.
Is he still your friend?
Yeah. So
when they announced, it's the same game?
It is the same
Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 3 are almost identical.
Did you have a helicopter in Far Cry
3? No, you didn't.
Therefore, it's not the same.
It's like barely an expansion.
Barring one or two things. Yeah, there we go.
I cannot believe. And then a few years later, I bought Far Cry 4. Just to see, and I played like 10 hours of it, and it was the same thing. It was just an expansion of 3.
But
and
Far Cry Primal was pretty good.
That was just like a Blood Dragon spin-off, only worse.
Fair enough. I enjoyed it. I thought it was quite fun.
Yeah, you can enjoy it. I'm not saying they're not enjoyable. I'm saying they keep recycling 3, and I don't understand why.
Because Vaas was the best villain, and therefore Far Cry 3 was the best Far Cry. Anyway, Nick, tell us about Far Cry 5.
I think that the reason people think Far Cry 3 is the best Far Cry was because it basically took all of the strengths of 2 and it knocked out all of the things that annoyed the hell out of people.
Yes.
Like you didn't have to pull out the map while you were driving the car and then hit a tree.
And repairing the car was a lot easier.
Number 2 had so many annoyances, just a list of them.
Anyway, so Far Cry 5 is set in Montana. And I can't even remember the name of it. I think it's Hope County.
Yes, Hope County.
And basically, it starts off with you as a deputy from the local sheriff's department, and you go to...
So you're local here?
Yeah, so you go to...
So it's not the foreigner comes in and fixes everything plot?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'll get to that in a minute, but essentially you're going into a kind of Waco-style compound... that is being run by a guy called Joseph Seed.
So,
and he is, he basically babbles on about God and the seals being broken open, and if you recently saw the series Waco, he sounds a lot like David Koresh. Although he's got
that name makes me so angry.
Vernon?
No, David Koresh.
Yeah, his name was Vernon.
Really?
His name was Vernon. Bill Hicks used to have a joke about that, saying like everyone got so pissed off with David Koresh because he called himself Jesus. And Bill Hicks said, come on, the guy's name is Vernon. Let him be Jesus for a while. What's it to you? Who's going to follow a messiah named Vernon anyway? So he basically is telling his followers, oh, I told you they'd come and take me. Because basically you're there to arrest him because he's...
a cult leader.
Well, not just a cult leader, but you have the distinct impression that they're stockpiling weapons here.
Okay.
And when you see the amount of guns people are carrying around this compound, you think, oh, that's probably a good reason we think this. So you arrest the guy. His followers go bonkers. You try to take off in a helicopter. One of the followers jumps onto the helicopter and throws themselves into the rotor to break it up. The copter crashes. Joseph Seed escapes. All the communications to this valley are now cut off, and you're on the run with cultists coming after you.
Okay, that's an interesting premise. But all of this sounds like Ubisoft took a direction from not just Waco and Koresh, But it sounds a lot like the cult mentality of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Could, well, yes, I mean, but there's no God hates fags banners outside.
Yeah.
The thing about this particular cult is that they believe that America has become weak because the politicians are corrupt, and we care too much for other people, and therefore the weak must be rooted out and the strong must arise. The idea of the needs of the few now outweigh the many. And basically, Joseph Seed has got a couple of brothers. I think they're called John and Jacob, respectively.
Yeah.
One of them is a complete nut job who basically conditions soldiers to be these sort of brainwashed, can prompt kill at any time. And the other brother is, motivational speaker / evil guy, I suppose. And then there's a woman who may or may not be related to them, who specializes in brainwashing, all in the name of God, don't you know? And basically, the territory in this valley is divided between the three of them, and you have to take them out kind of crackdown style-y one at a time. There are people in the valley who are fed up with the Seeds. There's a sort of resistance movement going. I got to meet two of the characters, one of which is this kind of huntress kind of character called Jess, uses a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
If you partner up with her, because you can partner up with the AI, and if you partner up with Jess, she has a bow that fires flaming arrows, and you get a stealth bonus, and any animals that come across you won't attack you on sight because they like her, which is great because you can still sell pelts and make bandoliers out of pelts and things like that. And I can't remember the other guy's name. I think his name was Herc. He's a moron, and he is really irritating, but he has a rocket launcher, so it goes a long way to forgiving many of his personality sins. But basically, it's Far Cry. Yeah, there you are, set loose in a vast rural environment. You're given a gun and some explosives, and you're allowed to get on with it. You can drive around in it. You've still got the wingsuit. You've got a parachute. There's a talent tree where you can unlock talents, stuff like being able to hold your breath underwater for longer periods of time. What really kind of sells it, I think, is the slightly dystopian, southern gothic, backwoods, Judeo-Christian nightmare. The thing is that I think that the Seeds and a lot of their followers are modeled on real people. At this time in America where the religious right is on the rise and there's a lot of people going out there and opining the idea that if you're of a different skin color or if you're of believe in a different God or if you are not considered what they considered a true red-blooded American, you're obviously an enemy of the state.
Yeah.
The whole sort of the idea of people caring too much, that's the idea of the social justice warriors need to have the boot put in.
Is the subject matter handled well, though? Because I can foresee that something like this can spark a lot of outrage.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to tell you the truth, I think that Far Cry 5 is where this series should have gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because in Far Cry, the common thread is you pitch up in an area where you're an outsider, usually an American, and you start capping the natives.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see that formula turned in on America.
Yeah.
I know that there were some people who were outraged about it online last year, that they wanted to get a petition done, and how dare Ubisoft take
without this seeing any bit of the game.
Yeah, how dare Ubisoft take this stance against America and American values when we made you what you are, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I've never really cared about that. I think it's important to some people, I suppose. I mean, I remember going to the Assassin's Creed 3 reveal event in London, a year before the game came out.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there, after having watched Connor, wander through the snow and do that stuff. And I spoke to a guy called Joe, who was a writer on another site, and said, "What did you think of that?" I thought it was interesting. He said, "Not being funny, mate, but all I saw was an American kill Brits for about half an hour." So it does matter to some people. It's never mattered to me. But for all those people who think that, if you are listening to us and you are stateside and you think that you have a problem with this, well, there's a myriad games you can put on where you're shooting foreigners again. You'll be all right.
So interesting setting aside, it just sounds like another excuse to shoot people, which I'm not against. Mm. But again, I have fatigue in the series, and I don't see how a radical cult is any different from the mercenaries of three. Mm. So is there a difference? I mean, you've played it.
Not really. I mean, they don't move differently or anything like that. And also, you do find yourself going to things like ranger lodges and hotels in the area that have been taken over by the cult. You kill the cult there. You hopefully get the guy before he starts the alarm. Otherwise, this reinforcements arrive and you can take over that.
It's exactly like the bases of the other games.
Well, I mean,
I can't believe it.
There's one point where you just hear me out, Clinton. One point where you climb a radar tower to take out the radar tower, and the guy on the radio to you goes, "I know what you're thinking. Don't worry, you won't be climbing up radar towers all over."
No, lots of developers do this. They kind of nudge you and they'll be like, "Hey, we get it," but then stop doing it. It's not comedy if you're the person the joke is about. Mm. That's not how it works.
To me, the whole thing is appeal of the game is going to be banked on its story and banked on its villains. And it all depends on whether or not the story is any good. And that, I think, is going to feature very heavily in review scores and what people think of it in the end. I mean, because, you know, like you said, Vaz in Far Cry 3 was a great villain. Mm. And there was a great story going in Far Cry 3. And then Vaz, spoiler alert, dies
and halfway through the game.
And then it stops being interesting because they introduce this German dude who's like,
nobody cares about.
No one cares about it. You know? And Far Cry 4, I mean, the only thing that was interesting about that was that the two rebel leaders who you come across turn out to be just as loathsome as Pagan Min.
Yeah.
I mean, Pagan Min's a dictator and he runs this this province.
But at least he looks good while doing it.
He looks good while doing it, but like also he brings order to a situation that otherwise would be chaotic. Whereas these two rebel leaders, eventually you have this binary choice where you can side with the dude, and that means that traditional values come back and women go into the kitchen and women don't get this and we need to be traditional. So, you know, it's a vote for misogyny, or you go with the female rebel leader, and her plan for the whole country is just to take over the heroin trafficking trade that Pagan's already running. So you tell me, are they better or worse?
I just have a question about the world, because Ubisoft's kind of put a lot of emphasis on not just the story and stuff, but like telling a story through the world as well. Mm. There was a really big deal in Wildlands, another big one in Division. What's the world like in this game? Is it interesting? Do you want to explore it? Or is it just kind of like, oh, here's some cool textures?
Or is it just a reskin?
Well, this is the thing, is that like, I don't want to reserve judgment to it until I've finished the whole game, but like in the 8 or so hours I played it, I did find myself going, you know, I understand Hope County is a county, but even in counties, you get small towns.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's like wilderness, woods, lumber mill. Wilderness, woods, hotel.
That's really weird in a first world country.
Wilderness, woods, I don't know. What else did they have in it? mine, you know?
That's a bit bizarre because, I mean, like in a setting like Bolivia that Wildlands was in, that kind of makes sense. It's a whole country. You have a lot of space between, and then there are like really big centers where there are people. But this just seems weird. Like, I would imagine that Montana is a lot more built up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there'd be more than just the odd church on the horizon. Yeah. My point.
Well, it's like a fictionalized version of it, isn't it? And they can play with scale.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, look, it's Far Cry at the end of the day. I mean, they are never. I don't really see a game like Far Cry ever competing with the variety, let's say, of a world that's offered by something like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. 5. Okay. Fair enough.
You know, where Grand Theft Auto 5, you have the backwoods, you have the wilderness, you have the deserts, you've got the ocean, you've got a city.
Yeah.
You know, you've got everything. The scale and scope of that game is phenomenal.
Mm.
And the variety offered in there is phenomenal. I don't see Far Cry going to those places. But like, here's the thing. I think that, like I said, I think it's going to bank its appeal on the story, and it's going to bank its appeal on its villains. And I completely understand why you're looking forward to it, and I completely understand why Clinton isn't. if you got fatigued with Far Cry 4 and then actively pissed off with Far Cry Primal, you're not going to have much time for this. Yeah. One thing that was quite creepy at the event, though, was that they had a guy who was dressed up as Joseph Seed. And he actually looked a hell of a lot like him. So you'd be playing this game and seeing this crazy guy, and then you'd turn around and you're like, ah!
Just look at the screen and shoot at him. Be like, yo, dude. Did you get to try out the mode, the creation mode, or was it just the single player?
I had to leave early, so I didn't get to do co-op.
Because that's like the only...
The creation mode, you mean what, skinning your character?
No, arcade mode, building your own levels. Mode,
yeah, you get to make your own levels. They had that in 3, I think, but I never tried it myself. But the one in 5 is particularly interesting because you can bring enemies and assets from the past Far Cry games, except and Blood Dragon for some reason.
Aren't there also assets from other Ubisoft games?
I don't know. I just seem to recall
that being mentioned as well.
I mean, if you play a lot of Ubisoft games, it might be worth going to the Ubisoft Club just to find out exactly how many Ubisoft tokens you've collected over the years. I remember, like, on the Xbox One, it was the first time I'd ever opened up my Ubisoft account. And because I'd played all the Assassin's Creed, a couple of Raymans, all the Far Cries, you know, all those...
You get those cool tokens. All the Splinter
Cells. I was sitting on a small fortune of tokens.
Yeah.
So,
and you can use them to buy, like, DLC in the game and get discounts on
games. You see, this is the thing. That Far Cry comes towards me at a very, very inopportune time for Far Cry 5. Because... I was told by the distributor that they're getting hold of a copy of Yakuza 6 for me.
Nick loves Yakuza.
So goodbye Far Cry, hello Yakuza.
I don't know. It all depends who gets to me first.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to Yakuza 6. I'm also over the moon with the news this week that Yakuza Kiwami 2 is coming out this August.
I feel like I need to get a PlayStation to play these games because everybody goes berserk about them.
Look, it's a Marmite game. You'll
either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
Don't want to buy a whole console and then play it. Like,
you can use my console.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Yakuza games.
But you've also missed out on Uncharted, Horizon.
I don't care about any of those, Clinton. I just want to play the game that everybody's talking about.
Yakuza, what?
Well, no, I mean, like, let's see what else. It's like Horizon, The Last of Us is coming out this year.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus. I don't think.
You can even play Heavy Rain. Did you not like Heavy Rain?
No.
Why not?
I'm just being too cynical now. But that's Far Cry 5. We'll have more content about it closer unless Nick gets preoccupied with Yakuza. But
we'll have more content on it when Nick raises his head from 60 pages of editing. Are you listening? You know you are.
That was ominous, Brendan. I think you're going to have to take us away from that.
So this morning I found out that PUBG is available for mobile.
Yes.
And it's free.
Yes.
And it's 700 megabytes to download.
Wow.
Which is quite big, but it's quite fun. So I haven't played PUBG on PC because I don't like paying for early access games. And
but it's out now, Brendan.
Yeah, I know it's out now, but I don't have skill when it comes to like shooters, right?
I have 100 hours to learn PUBG.
Yeah, and to learn the intricacies and, here's what you should buy, and I don't really care. But there is now a mobile version, right, which is free to play.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to have is an Android smartphone running Android version 5.1.1 as a minimum with at least 2 gigs of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And on iOS, it just needs to be an iPhone 6 or newer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can play PUBG on your phone. And it works exactly like PUBG, like you would expect. So you start off.
Okay, but by expect, I expect it not to run at all because that game barely runs.
Okay, so it runs. So it runs.
How can it barely run on PC? How can one of the most popular games of the last year barely run on PC?
Nick, have you not been reading the news? The game runs terribly on every system.
Really?
It's like infamous for that. And on Xbox, it's even worse.
Wow.
Anyway, that was... So you're saying it runs?
So it runs.
It starts on phone at least.
It starts, you get to the first little island where you run around and punch people before you start the lobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get there, you select... Obviously, I've never played PUBG. I've watched a lot of people play it online, but actually playing it is completely different. You select where you want to land on the map or where you want to go on the map. You parachute out, you land. The one thing that is cool is that you pick up weapons, medikits, and armor if you don't have them as you run over them.
Oh, okay, because I know in the desktop you need to manually do it.
Yeah, you need to manually do it. it, but because you're on a mobile phone and there's
you have zero buttons.
literally zero buttons. It's auto collect as you run over items. From there, there's literally two controls. There's a direction, and then there's so on your left hand side, you have a D-pad, as it were, where you direct your character, and then you move the mouse by touching the screen. Or you move the camera by moving the screen and then moving at the same time. And then you shoot by aiming down the sights. It is very difficult to play because you don't have...
It's a shooter
on a mobile phone. So you have no physical buttons. You are basically like... You need to know exactly where you are tapping. Otherwise, you could, like me, be hoping to shoot somebody in. Instead you go prone. Yeah, it's a little bit of fun. You need to have a persistent internet connection to play it. But I don't really see anybody outside of the console and PC space downloading this and playing it.
Really? Because I think a free mobile version would attract a lot of people.
Fair enough, but it is really, really tricky to play. Like, I'm sure there are people that are better at this than
I am. Can't you plug in a mouse and keyboard into your phone?
I tried to plug in an Xbox 360 controller into, because I've got a little converter with the S9 that converts.
Works with other games.
Type A to Type C, but the PUBG doesn't pick it up.
Because I could have sworn I read an article that people were kind of poning other people.
I'm going to do a bit more work into finding out if I can get a controller or mouse and keyboard to work on this.
Even aside from that, lots of people make third-party controllers for phones that will override any like in-game controls, even if none have been programmed in. So, and I assume that would give people a massive advantage.
I think that if you can get a controller to work on this, it will be really great. You'll have like a console experience in terms of PUBG. I mean, the fact that it is running on a smartphone,
still can't believe it,
is pretty incredible. I mean, we are now in an age where you can play the same game on PC, Xbox, or mobile.
And Fortnite's doing this too.
Yeah, Fortnite is also, they are set to release.
I think it's like a in closed beta or something like that, on iOS only, if I remember correctly.
So I have no idea why that is going onto a phone.
because
it's making, I don't know how much, but it must be millions. And that's a free game, which is the next thing I want to ask. How is this game making money?
I don't think it is. I did not see any shop inside the game. Bear in mind, I only looked at it for an hour.
Yeah.
But I don't think there are microtransactions because I didn't see anything on the Google Play Store page, which usually warns you if there are microtransactions.
Yeah, it didn't have that.
And it didn't have that. And yeah, I mean, it's basically a free-to-play game that's licensed by Tencent.
Right now. Yeah. Wow. Do you know if they developed it?
All I know is that the Tencent Games licensed it.
Yeah, that's what I'm on the Play Store now. That's what it says.
I don't know if they did the development. I think they might have, because Tencent Games does do a lot of game development. I know that they are releasing it's not a port, but it looks like a port of League of Legends for mobile.
It's crazy.
It's called something completely different, but it looks exactly like League of Legends. The map is the same. The characters look the same. It all looks the same, but it's not. I mean, it could be because Tencent owns Riot Games or majority share in Riot Games. So I don't really know. But yeah, I think it's a cool idea. I think if you can get a controller for it.
I don't think shooters have ever worked on smartphones. I think it's one of those situations for me. It's like sometimes you're just gonna accept the fact that there are certain platforms that are optimized for the genre of games that you have and certain ones that aren't. Like, for example, I think that Halo Wars is a pretty decent RTS. Will it ever be as good as StarCraft? No. Will an RTS as good as StarCraft ever appear on a console? No. Why? Because mouse and keyboard lend themselves to that genre.
Fair enough. I mean, look, there are a lot of people playing games on mobile, and mobile is ubiquitous. People have lots and lots of smartphones.
Yeah.
And I think to ignore it...
I think lots of people have a smartphone.
Well, lots of people have more than one smartphone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, lots of people have a smartphone and a tablet, but have never owned a PC. Just for instance, my mother has never used a computer in her life, but she knows how to use a tablet better than I do. She knows things about tablets that I would never know.
Hmm.
And yeah, I think that there is room for this sort of game, especially in terms of the battle royale genre, which is huge at the moment.
It's actually crazy how popular.
You're also talking about a scene where Drake and Ninja just broke the concurrent viewership on Twitch, which is massive. I mean, like
they're playing Fortnite, aren't they?
They were playing Fortnite, yeah. And all that happened was Twitch. Drake put out a tweet saying playing Fortnite with @Ninja, and all of the whole world discovered that Twitch was a thing.
Yeah.
And people were making money playing video games. So prepare for the Twitch invasion, ladies and gentlemen. Even our friend Logan Paul has created a Twitch channel and he's got 100,000 subscribers.
Why do you guys have to keep bringing him up?
Because
as soon as he's dead in my mind, you just have to bring him back.
You can never forget about the Pauls. It's
no, I'm trying to. You guys stop the reminding Pauls. Me.
Yeah, the brothers are back. Do you know that?
Isn't Logan Paul about to step into a ring with KSI?
I don't know.
I read that somewhere.
I'm not sure. I don't follow the news. I just know that he's got a Twitch channel for some reason.
Logan Paul,
and it's called Logan Paul Was Taken. Well done.
It's a loud clap.
Creativity.
I saw a news report. Apparently, Ninja's making $500,000 a month.
So it's
bollocks.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think you're allowed to disclose how much you earn on Twitch, but you can kind of guess.
Yeah, because from subs cost a certain amount. Yeah. There's a certain amount of subs. It's multiplication.
And then you have you're Twitch
good luck
Prime
with all
subscribers.
Of that Twitch boys and girls, because once the FPB bill becomes law in this country, chances are
Speak about that sad thing again.
We might never see you again.
Well, they're overseas. They don't give a damn.
Yeah, but PUBG on mobile, if you have 700 megabytes of data free, or you're on a Wi-Fi connection, you're on Android 5.1.1, 2 gigs of RAM.
I just saw a 3D print that adds an analog controller to your phone.
Does it have buttons?
Yes, that's the whole point.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about something a bit different. We won't spend too much longer on this because it hasn't come out yet. This is the Ready Player One movie. Now, there's a book, and I think Nick and I have read it, and Nick doesn't really like it. Tell us why, Nick.
It's an all right airport read. I mean, it is. It's an okay airport read. How do I put this? Right.
Just bear in mind that all the fandoms in the world will come after you.
If you've never read Ready Player One, the basic premise is this. The world is crap. And this kid who lives in a slum escapes his reality by going into a computerized world created by this developer who's long since dead. And the developer basically said that within the game there is a puzzle, and with that puzzle, once you solve that puzzle, you will inherit his fortune. So,
and he has the most money in the world. And you also get a controlling share in that virtual world called the Oasis. Basically, if you get this, you rule the world at the end of the day. That's the premise.
And this kid is a massive pop culture nerd from the 80s. And when I say it's from the 80s, I don't mean he was born in the 80s. I mean he is a nerd about 80s pop culture.
Okay.
So he's the cool kid at school who knows about Back to the Future. Well, not really. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who cares?
He's not the cool kid.
The point is that his pop culture knowledge is what gives him the edge on all the other players.
Is it because the developer is really old and put in a whole bunch of mistakes?
Yeah, he was born in that time, and he puts out something called the Almanac, which is basically a huge list of stuff that he likes and little notes on them, and then he goes through that, and that's how he gets clues.
Basically, the premise of this book is that this kid who basically, you know, rejects who trades one reality for another, and it's understandable because the one reality is horrible and the other one's really cool, is rewarded ultimately for having all this useless, this information that in our world, in our reality, is useless and crap, and in his world is amazing, and it holds the key to whatever. And I just thought that this, by the way, is a premise that is kind of carried through into the next book. What was the author's name again? for Ready Player One? Don't you have it on a screen in front of you?
No, Clinton? I had it on the top of my head, but I can't remember. Just keep speaking. I'll bring it up.
Ernest Cline.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. And, you know, it became... When Ready Player One came out when I was in the UK, it kind of became a little bit of a phenomenon. But Ernest Cline has since written another book called Armada. And Armada basically is about this kid who gets really good at this game. Like a really, really good at this game. And
Is he drafted to fight aliens in space using spaceships? Are you joking? Really? No. Oh, my God.
A spaceship lands in his back garden, and it turns out that this game is actually a training simulator for basically people who are fighting off an alien invasion.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Now, have you seen this plot somewhere before?
Oh yes, I have. Nick.
Really, what was
in
it
a
called?
Book and a movie? Actually.
What was it called?
Well, you tell me, Nick. What's it called? I can't remember it off the top of my head because I didn't see it because the author is kind of a terrible human being.
Oh right, so you're talking about Ender's Game.
Yes.
And you see, the funny thing about that is that in actual fact, before Ender's Game came out, there was a film called The Last Starfighter. Do you know what that's about? It's about a guy who plays this arcade game and he gets really good at it, and then an alien spaceship lands and says, oh, guess what? You're supposed to be trained to fight off an alien invasion with this simulator. Right?
Has Hollywood just, or has pop culture just given up?
And well, you see, this is the other thing. Stories. I gave up halfway through Armada because it was just like a fanboy's wet dream. Like at one point, he meets this girl who, from the sounds of things, you know, could have been designed by committee at Rage. You know, she's got blue hair and she's got, you know, pixie-esque features. And she's got tattoos and she's really sort of sarcastic and spiky. But then when she finds out he's got the high score on this game, then she's like absolutely impressed by him. And it's like, oh, God, kill
flip
me now.
Flipping E-peen is what that is.
Anyway, if you want to see Ready Player One.
No. Let me go back. Nick's afraid to say this, so I will. Ready Player One is... A book that is billed as a nostalgia trip for 30-something men, right? But what it actually is a young adult novel, because if you read it, it hits all the tropes. There's even a part where the two characters are texting each other and flirting over there. Anyway, you cut it, it's a very easy read young adult novel, which is 50% or more references which depend on you saying, hey, I remember that thing. It's like The Grapes from South Park. Hey, I remember. The reason we're speaking about this, it's been turned into a movie. And the concerns with the movie are, with CGI, we're just going to take the Iron Giant and he's going to fight a Gundam. And that's going to be the movie. Nothing inherently wrong with that. You know, everybody wants spectacle. But people are afraid of that. The biggest complaints people have with Ready Player One is that it panders and it depends too much on other parts of culture. And is that going to be the same with the movie? We don't know. Mm. Now, we're going to let you know, because we're running a contest with Stuart Kinnickel. You can go watch it at the Cradlestone Mall, which just reopened its IMAX cinema. And we'll put a link to that. You just need to fill out a form, and then we'll call you if you win. It closes on Sunday. It's that easy. Just fill out a form. I'm seeing it tonight.
Are you going to review it?
Yeah, I probably will.
I'm not sure you should review it.
Why?
First of
Am I
all,
being too soft or too hard? Isn't it?
Well, first of
or
all...
Or is it because I don't like WoW, the movie?
Well, first of all, you got that wrong, because Warcraft is brilliant. But secondly, did you know, listeners, Clinton gave Black Panther a 7?
Oh, I was actually going to give it a 6 for a while.
Wow!
But I thought it... I saw it a second time after the review and I actually bumped it to 7. Yeah, and also, Brendan's going to see a different movie. He's seen Pacific Rim.
Yeah!
At Cradlestone.
Cradlestone.
So we probably will have those reviews later in the week, depending on if there's any embargoes we have to sign. But Ready Player One is going to be interesting. Lots of people love the book. Lots of people hate the book. Lots of people love and hate the premise of both. So,
well, at least you'll know whether or not you want to see it.
Yeah, you just need to watch one trailer, and it's going to be a Marmite kind of thing. You'll know. Director is Steven Spielberg, and it's going to be strange because
he made Hook, didn't he?
Yeah, he helped make some of the properties that make Ready Player One like so recognizable. Anyway, the reason we brought it up is because we have a contest, free stuff for you guys. So please go fill that out. If you can make it to Cradlestone, please, that's a big thing.
Yeah, don't enter if you're in Cape Town and you're not flying up to Joburg on the day of the screening.
This is restricted. It's South Africans only by law. That's the only people we can offer it to. And
And you can't sell the ticket if you win.
Yeah.
That doesn't work like that.
We're not even going to send you anything. Your name's going into a special VIP list, which everybody loves that. And when you get there, they're going to let you in. So
my name's on the list.
Yep. 10 double tickets. Please go fill that out if you can make it to Cradlestone. And that's it, everybody. That's going to be it for the week. For myself, for Brandon.
Cheerio.
For Nick.
The light shall burn you.
And bye.